You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome back, Mystery Craters. Roy, how'd that sound? We got Roy here.
Sounded like that hurt, actually. It sounded like the pain.
I wanted people to think that they're entering this Mystery Crate episode just in the middle of a fun, laughing conversation. Amin El Hassan is here. Amin.
Hey.
And you know why we're laughing, everybody?
Why is that?
Because love is in the air. And something happened that is bringing us together for this special return of Roy. What are we? What is today?
It's Dad Pod, Chris.
I think this has to be the most special one yet we've done. And if you don't know, Billy Gill is going to be... He has a child. Not yet.
Well, not yet,
He's going to have a child. Billy, welcome to Dad Pod. How do you feel?
Hey, it's Billy. I'm fine.
Hello, Billy.
Honestly, it hasn't really hit me yet. Like, I'm not... And I know it's crazy because it's supposed to happen... You know, not a month, but like late May, mid to late May. And my wife will tell me, like, you know, I feel like the baby's going to come early. And I'm like, well, we need to kind of put a pause on that. Like, we're not.
Don't put that out in the universe.
Yeah, I actually said that. I'm like, don't put that out there. Don't speak that into existence. Like, let's not manifest, like, the baby being born early, because my life has been a little bit stressful as of late. Like, on top of, like, the baby and the, you know, work situation. Something that I haven't talked about is that we got a house, but it's a thing that, like, we had been looking for, like, over 2 years, and we just couldn't find a place. And then last summer, like, we made an offer on a place, and they, like, accepted it, but it was, like, a whole thing with the courts because the previous owner had passed away, and they didn't leave it to the family. So, like, it took months to go through the courts, and, like, COVID slowed that down. And... we finally finished that in, like, late October, but we had to, like, redo almost everything. So, like, every second that I'm not working, I'm basically over there trying to do things to get that ready. And everything that we, like, find or think, like, this is finally set, we then have some new complication. And, like, I'm somewhat handy, but not, like, handy enough to redo a house. So, like, me and my dad are doing that, and there's, like, a guy that, you know, did the floors and stuff like that. But it's like, it's impossible. Every time we think that we make progress, there's some sort of delay. So it's like, I just need to get this done in time for the baby to be there. So I haven't even, like, thought about, like, hey, you know what? I actually had Lorenzo send me a parenting book, like, unsolicited.
He was actually just texting me that you haven't read it and I need to, like, rip you.
Okay.
He's like, he hasn't read it yet. Chris, he's not ready. You need to, he, like, was trying to prep me for this.
I was hoping Lorenzo could come on and give me advice, because Lorenzo will call me occasionally or text me and just be like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but you really should avoid this product or that product. And I'm like, so I'm just trying to spackle and sand walls so that I can get into the house. Like, I don't know what the product is. Also, he sent me the book, and I got it, like, a week before I like, moved or was in the moving process. And all our stuff is still packed, right? Like, we're staying between my parents and my in-laws while we're trying to finish the house. So, like, I haven't read it. But what I did see from the book is, like, it's supposed to start, like, at month one, and I got it at, like, month five. So I'm like, do I skip ahead to the chapter that starts, like, in the fifth or sixth month, or do I go back and, like,
start skimming the book?
They keep making references, just like you did in month two.
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember what happened in month two. So, like, it's strange, like, because I've been preoccupied with, like, the house situation, which is, like, very stressful, I haven't overwhelmed myself with the baby situation yet, which is, like, good and bad, because we're almost there and I don't realize how unprepared I actually am for this whole situation.
Billy, I don't want to get you too excited at this possibility, but you know when Chris Cody's birthday is? May 20th. I'm thinking same day. Huh? Twinsies, birthday twins.
I think that's the due date, honestly.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so.
The fun thing about being a parent, your first one, you're going to be terrified. Like, because you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You're terrified by everything. But my father's advice to me was, look around. 7 billion people on this planet.
Yep.
90% of them are illiterate. Like, no one's reading books. They just do it. It happens. They manage. Everyone's out here alive and well. It's really hard to f it up, basically, is what my father's point was. You know, we've been doing this for hundreds of thousands of years on this planet. Just relax. Lorenzo strikes me as the kind of person who takes a class even when he doesn't have a child coming.
Well, like, he was telling me, he's like, you have this product that has this sort of lining, this mesh, something, you know, this is really not great. And I'm like, I don't even know what's on there, dude. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to paint and spackle and sand. Like, how do you know what's on there and what's good and what's bad? I haven't even seen that. Like, my wife will ask me, like, should we put this or should we put that? And I'm like, I don't know. Just please pick it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about a stroller. I have no experience with strollers.
Bassinet.
I don't know.
This is why your wife should talk to, her friends or, other mothers about this. Instead of going to, the person who doesn't know what's going on, which is the father.
Yeah. The other person who's new to this shit.
Yeah. Yes.
Of all the people you're going to ask for advice, you're going to ask the mother who hasn't had a child yet.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I love the word spackle.
Oh, yeah.
Spackle.
That's great.
Yeah. Spackle. That's the here and there, over here. And just a little spackle.
Billy, I didn't realize you were turning into Chip Gaines, too.
Like, Mr. Yeah, you got to fix it up over here.
I'm a good spackler. Yeah? I'm not going to lie. The thing is that I want it to be too good. You know what I mean? So, I'll go and I'll stand and I'll be like, you know what? This could use another layer of spackle. And it's like, well, now I'm setting this whole thing back like another day because I need to put on the spackle, then it needs to dry, and then I need to sand it. It's just never ending.
Spackler. Is that a job? Spackler?
Seems like a role.
The average salary of a spackler, $79,000.
Mm-hmm.
Who was? What does Sugat say that was for? A whistler.
A wrestler.
Whistler.
He says these things sometimes that I think that he doesn't think anyone will question him on. And it's like, what is a professional whistler, and how can that person be making 79? Like, where's the demand for a whistler?
Billy, how are your dad jokes? Have you been practicing them?
Very important.
Mm-hmm. I was actually given a book of dad jokes. I haven't practiced them yet because I feel like that's not something. I feel like the dad joke game needs to be better, starting at the 2.5 range and up. Like, I feel like an infant, I don't need to be telling dad jokes.
No, right now it's just for you. Right now you're just, sharpening your tools. So when she gets to that age, you're ready to go. Why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself? Because it was too tired.
What time did the baby make its dentist appointment?
2:30.
Tooth hurty.
Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because he ate it.
7, 8, 9. Because he ate it.
I don't know. I knew 8 was involved.
Yeah. Billy, you're kind of advanced. Billy's on top of it.
Yeah, okay. I'm like 8. I'm an AP level dad joker right now.
Right.
Gotta get those credits for college.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't feel like this is very good advice. I don't think that I'm really learning anything from this.
Well, I think you're going to sharpen those dad joke tools, and that's the advice.
I guess my thing is more so how high on the list of parental priorities is being good at dad jokes? Because I feel like that's not that high.
It's definitely top 10.
I should be worried about right now.
Yeah. It's a slow burn. Like, it starts right now. It's probably not that important, but at some point, it will be the most important thing you can do as a father. Mm-hmm.
Will it?
Dude, just wait till she can walk and you can start asking her to go get you stuff. It doesn't get any better than that. And see, we've had this debate before, whether
this
that's
doesn't good. Seem like good advice.
No, but some people argue. I think Dominique Foxworth has told us before that that's bad parenting. It's lazy and stuff that. I can go get my. It's like, no, they need to learn that it's not always about them.
Yeah. My dad told me once that they had me because remote controls didn't exist. And then remote controls were invented, and then it was kind of like, well,
look at that parenting your dad
did
on
you for,
and look how you turned out, Billy. You are a respectful, nice, funny young man, and your dad did that to you. Good parenting by your dad.
Respectful, nice, funny channel changer. Yeah.
No, but I didn't have to change the channels because at some point a remote control was invented, so I never had to do it.
Yeah.
So imagine if I would have.
You're
been
obsolete.
Changing the channels.
You became obsolete.
I became useless for what he wanted me for.
Well, somebody has to go infest the remote control, so.
That's true. There's nothing better than using your kids as
to see that, Billy? Errors. Nothing better.
There's nothing better than.
Nothing better. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want, hey, go call your mother from the other room. Just say, oh, go get, like, I don't have to yell anymore. Mm-hmm. I just like, hey, tell your sister to keep it down. And then she runs over there. Hey, keep it down. Like,
so there was a time that I tried to, when I was younger with my sister, we thought that it'd be great if we could turn our dog into a messenger dog where we'd write notes and then like clip it to like the dog's collar and then send the dog across the house and we'd pass notes to each other that way. It never took off. But what you guys are telling me is that is going to be the child's job.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture? Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself. 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC, pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
How's your yell, Billy? Have you practiced your yell yet?
No, what it, I mean, but it, again, like...
Because you don't want to be too aggressive, but like you need to, you know...
To my knowledge, my baby will be born an infant, so I don't know how much yelling I need to do at an infant.
You gotta reach toddler stage for the yelling to...
Don't you need to, like, these are... I'm more concerned with the now of the parenting, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm like, develop those other skills
later on.
I'm giving you all the advice that I have for my three-year-old currently, so it's like I'm skipping.
Chris, here's the deal. Billy wants the Lorenzo month one advice. Month one of the pregnancy. Okay. Oh, we can do that for you.
Hold that's her neck. Up.
Yeah, hold that neck. Oh,
practice holding.
Yes.
Practice holding.
But what are we practice holding? A water bottle?
Go get a baby.
Where am I going to get a baby?
Get a duffel bag. Get a duffel bag.
Someone else's baby.
I'm trying to think of what item in everyday life most is like a newborn's neck that can kind of just like go at any direction and like... Like these, like, dude, you're going to think that she's like holding her neck up. You're going to be like texting your mom and your dad. Look how strong her neck is. They just like, and then all of a sudden it'll like jolt forward. Like, you know,
for the first. Is that something you text? Like, look how strong my baby's neck is?
But you're going to think your daughter has the strongest neck. Everyone is always so impressed. Oh, look, she's doing tummy time. She's only 2 months old.
Tummy like
everyone starts bragging about how strong their baby's neck is. Cause that's
remember
the first
tummy time.
It's the tummy first time muscle that they, it's the first thing they develop in terms of like, like the first month they can't lift their neck, and then by like 2 or 3 months you put them on their belly and then they lift up their head just to look up a little bit and you're like, yeah, progress, good parenting. So
is that the yell?
That's the first step.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that's the, you're gonna feel that sense of pride when you see your daughter hold her neck up for the first time. And my point is don't stress all that stuff,
Billy. Also prepare for you to think that your child is
the best.
Like the greatest at everything. Every conversation you have is going to have your child involved in some way.
The most
like
adorable.
People are going to be talking about the game last night. Like, oh, speaking of LeBron, you won't believe what my child did yesterday. You can't help it. You can't help it, but
lean
you got to understand.
Lean into it, though.
Everyone hates you when you do it.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I don't do
lean
it.
Lean into it. Be that proud dad, that prad.
But do you do that? You just throw your daughter into everything that you talk
do
about?
Do I? I don't think I do that. Do I? But we're talking
when
month one.
First advocate.
Yes,
yeah,
we're month one. Like, I'm already a vet. I'm a grizzled vet. Yeah. Like, 3 years in, I'm like,
I didn't even do that in month one.
Well, what'd you do? Well,
I was busy taking care of her. I really didn't talk to anybody about her.
Roy, when was the first time you told your daughter it is what it is?
I haven't done that yet.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, me over here talking to her like she's an adult right now.
Like, yeah, no, well, I have you, like, as soon as she was born, you shook her hand, you said, welcome to Earth. And then that was, like, that was it.
Earth.
Yeah.
Do you, Amin, have any friends where you have your kids are like the same age? Because Roy and I are in this rivalry all of a sudden because our daughters are almost the exact same age. So it's an unspoken rivalry. Roy, we've never even spoken about it. Roy's looking at me right now like we have a rivalry, but we do. Like every time I see Claire do something on the internet, I'm like, oh, is Graceland doing that yet? They're the same age. She needs to be.
That'll drive you crazy, Billy. You have to fight that urge to compare your child's progress with other people's children of around the same age progress. It's inevitable you'll do it, though. But you shouldn't. My kids are fairly close in age. I have twins, so they're the exact same age.
Oh, man, so you probably do it in your own household. You're looking at one like, she's doing this over here.
Well, absolutely. Like, we sit around and look at the twins, and, like, you know, the older sibling was way more advanced at this stage. Or there's other things where, like, wow, you guys are doing stuff that your older sibling wasn't doing.
Is it on the parent? If the first kids are just... If the first kid crushes it and everything, and the second kids don't, can't you look at yourself and be like, maybe I turned it down a little bit for the second kid? Maybe I got
that's
too
really
comfortable.
My main concern is like, I do not want to ruin this person's life, like this baby, like, because, you know, a baby, you can mold this baby into, you know, anything really. And like, I don't want to.
Well, that's what society is for, Billy. Society will do that for you.
Billy, you are going to live in constant fear that you're raising a serial killer or a despot or just a jerk. Like, these are things that you're going to be dealing with. The worries never go away. They start right on day one. It's going to start with, oh my God, do I know how to use a car seat?
I need to learn that on day one.
Billy,
that's
telling
important.
You.
Well, that, you need like, to Billy, install that actually today.
So, I don't have it yet.
Oh, God.
Billy,
oh,
listen to me. We're at the hospital. It's going away day. All right, the baby's done. Baby's coming home. All right, wait. I haven't put in the car seat yet. So I say, hold on, and I put in the car seat, and I'm trying to get it the hook. You know what I'm talking about, Chris and Roy, that hook thing.
Love when you get that hook. Ah, the best feeling when you finally snap it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't snap, and I literally, Billy, I started crying.
It's the worst.
In the front of the hospital at like 2 in the afternoon in front of everybody. Because I thought, I can't even bring this thing home. How the hell am I going to raise it to be a model citizen or whatever? So
jeez,
I would say, that's day one. Like on
I
day
have
one,
found right? installing of the car seat to be literally in the top three of most frustrating things about parenting. In 3 years I've been a parent, I swear to you. There's like, get yourself a car seat. Look up the reviews, Billy. Get a car seat that is easily installed, because some are so difficult to install.
Graco.
Ah, Graco.
Graco.
Yes. Love Graco. They make some good products, man.
They're great.
So that's a company name I should be familiar with.
Yes, Graco. GRACO.
I feel like we finally gave some advice. Like, this was like the first actual piece of advice we've
had. It's about time. We've moved up to booster
seat. I'm excited, Billy. I'm excited for you.
Well, I want to, Billy, what are your questions? We're giving you advice, but our advice is all over the place. What do you want to know?
Well, that's the thing, is that I seem like I don't even know what it is that I need to know. So I don't know what I don't know, if that makes sense.
Well, you should know. You should know to get a car seat now. That's probably.
Well, no, there's like a car seat. There's a car seat on like the registry. I know that. I know that my wife did the research on that stuff. But her baby shower is going to be like at the beginning of April, I think. So
you'll get your
stuff. I still have a couple
now.
Weeks before the stuff, will be arriving. Even though I guess people can order that like wherever that is that you do that.
Oh, baby Bjorn, get a baby Bjorn.
Yeah,
that's a singer, isn't it?
It's,
how do we feel about the baby backpacks?
Yeah, we got
Bjorn that one. Up front.
Up, right on the registry.
Did you get a backpack?
Oh, the actual backpack.
Everyone gets one on the registry. It's just whether you actually end up using it or not.
Are you talking about a backpack or a baby carrier?
I'm talking about the backpack where you put the kid in and all of a sudden you're walking around and your kid is like in the backpack.
Okay.
There's two types. There's the one, the baby Bjorn is right up here, up close, right under my chin.
Okay.
And then there's one where it's like you're like Mayans and stuff like that.
No.
Never used either. But if I was going to go with one, I think I'd go with them in front of me.
Yeah. Bjorn is great.
That seems to be on here. A baby Bjorn baby carrier.
Yep. You
Mini.
Put the baby right here. It allows your hands to be hands free. You can do things. It also feels cool, like a little bulletproof vest in front of you.
I mean, no one's gonna shoot a baby.
Right.
Are you sure about that?
I'd rather then, not find out.
When you take off the baby, like the vest is still on. You feel really. It feels really cool. I feel like I'm in the SWAT team. Like, hey, all right, strap the kid in. All right. Psh, psh, psh. Oh, it's great, man.
What?
Right. Right.
Also, you get a lot of like. As a father, right? Because the mother's going to have a lot of intimate time with the baby, breastfeeding and stuff like that. As a father, you're going to have less. So this is
video
a
game
way.
Time.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, while it's strapped to your chest, though, that's the whole point.
Mm. Yeah.
Baby's going to feel your heartbeat, and like you guys are going to be like really in tune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got what I was told was you have to take your shirt off so you're bare chested, and then you have to lay your baby on your chest so you get the heartbeat going. And then, like Amin said, you'd be in tune, like get to know each other, like and like day one or two.
It's usually like right, it's like as close to the birth as possible, like within.
So, like if I'm in the hospital, I just rip off my shirt and I grab the baby and I'm
like, dude, they're gonna tell you to take your shirt off. Yeah. As soon as you and the baby and your wife are back in a hotel room, they're gonna say, hey, we need to get
hotel room.
What's it called? Bonding time?
Or bonding time. Yes.
It's called skin to skin.
Wait, hold on a second.
Chris's doctor is Dr. Petey Pablo. Take your shirt off. Wait around your head, just like a
Yeah, I was just saying.
Chris, you a father.
Really, love it. You're kind of like
gonna raise her.
You're hesitant now to do this, but I'm telling you,
I miss Petey Pablo.
This is going to be the most emotional part of the birth for you, is when you finally get her on your chest without your shirt on. Like it's a beautiful time.
Most emotional part when the baby comes out and you're like, oh, and then they hand you the baby. When you hold the baby the first time, for all of my kids, I cried. Like, I didn't even think about crying the whole time. I wasn't emotional. I was like, okay, here comes the baby. Cool. In my hands, I start weeping because you see, like, their whole life right in that moment. Like, oh, you're going to grow up and you're going to be the president of the United States. And you think about all these crazy, crazy dreams. Also, Billy, trust me on this one. Do not cut the umbilical cord. They're gonna offer. Say no. You do it.
I said, why? Did you, like, botch it?
No, I didn't try it. I was terrified. What if I cut it wrong?
What if you cut it too short and they can't tie it or something?
No, they tell what you if, exactly where they give you a wide range where you can cut it. They're like,
what if the scissors slip out of my hands?
Yeah,
and the baby's impaled by the scissors. No,
but I said take the scissors.
They give you the scissors. To cut.
Yep.
Billy, the most annoying part for me of the actual birth experience was how I just got turned into a photographer. All the nurses are like, daddy, get your phone ready. And it's like, I'd like to be in the moment for this. Like, maybe hire a photographer if that's something that's really important to you.
I took pictures.
I don't think that's a thing.
I was literally getting yelled at as my child was about to exit my wife's body of saying, dad, get your phone ready. And I'm like, I would like to just be present for this.
Yeah, I feel like I'm with you on that. Like, they should have it set up like Splash Mountain or something where they have like the photographer set up and then you just go and you look at like afterwards, like the booth, and then you have like, hey, my baby was born at whatever hospital, and there's like a little flume or whatever, and then you see the baby being born. I want to be in the moment.
Show your wife and love that.
Right.
And it has numbers on it. And so
we go out and the date, lobby, so you don't forget the birthday.
Well, not only that, but we go out of the lobby, they've got the screens.
And that's you got to run. You got to make sure you get down there fast enough before it switches. But they, of course, prevent you from taking a picture of that screen with your phone because it has some sort of like whatever on it, glare. Like a watermark. Yeah, so you have to buy it. Did we just reinvent the birth photography process?
I think we did.
I love it being like a Splash Mountain, like a, now I've got it being like a roller coaster ride. Like you're at the right time.
Wow.
I just want to kind of enjoy the moment, you know?
But honestly, it's something I look back on being frustrated at the nurses because just being yelled at to grab my phone.
Also, be prepared to be wrong about everything.
Oh, I'm already that.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm already
there. But I'm going to say in that moment, like I got yelled at for not being supportive. And then when I started being supportive.
Overly supportive?
Just shut up. You sound so fake.
Wow.
It's an emotional time for these women.
This sucks because it's like a different time. And I'm going to be by myself, I think, like in the hospital while this is going on. So like in the waiting period and all that stuff, like. There's not going to be, like, family or anything around because I don't think anyone's allowed in the hospital still.
Have you been able to go to doctor's appointments leading up?
I've had to, like, I drive my wife there and then I have to, like, be in the parking lot and watch on FaceTime. So, like, I haven't even gotten, like, that out of it. But I want to go even though, like, I have to do it on FaceTime. I still go because I want her, you know, to feel like I'm part of it and I want to feel like I'm part of it too.
Well, it's not just feeling.
What's
like
that?
you learn things in those. Is that just a? I just want to show my face. Like no, telling you things.
I'm watching on FaceTime, like trying to like hear what's going on, and like I feel like I can't like ask questions. Like doctor, over here. I'm on the phone. Look at me. I have a question.
They tell you this whole thing about the dilation and how many centimeters and da-da-da. And like, they told me all those stuff. And then I remember the day of the birth, I'd forgotten what any of it meant. I was like, what? What are you talking about? The nurse was like, looking at me like, I'm like, I don't know what any of this means.
I didn't study for this.
I don't want to like get into the details of like, you know, the personal stuff of the childbirth that will be coming on May 20th exactly on my birthday, because I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I got to experience both because my wife started in to do a natural birth and we had to switch to a C-section. And I recommend the C-section, if I can just say that without being too offensive.
I'll say this. The C-section, because the oldest came out natural childbirth, the twins came out C-section. And what we've discovered is in the moment, the C-section is easier, right? But long term, you got like all types of pain medication you got to be on afterward and stuff.
You mean like forever or just like for a time being afterward?
For a time, yeah, like for like a month later, you're still dealing with kind of stitches and
stuff. My wife didn't find that to be a terrible experience, the recovery time. I mean, she like had to, you know, had a few days of soreness and stuff.
But moving intestines and other organs out of the way to get the womb out. By the way,
let me tell you right now, C-section, way grosser.
Well, if you look,
to watch. Yes.
I'm not talking about looking. I'm just talking about.
I made the mistake of looking over here, and boy, yeah. You're absolutely right. They take the intestines and they just put it on a pan.
Oh.
By the way, I've lived my entire life watching movies and like someone's in surgery or whatever, or like their guts fall out or whatever. And I'm like, that looks so fake. There's no way guts look like that. It looks exactly like that.
Oh.
I was so shocked at how. What good
if they
Hollywood
put it back
is.
In the wrong place?
They just pick it up and shove it back in there.
Like wherever it fits?
Like the opening, the incision is just like, it's like lifting a blanket up and just throwing all that shit back in there. And then they put the blanket back down.
And hope it goes back in the right place?
I don't know. I didn't stare at it. I just kind of took a picture of it. Yeah, don't watch. there you go, Billy. Your curiosity can be like, let me just take a peek. Do not do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I don't even like looking when they're like drawing my blood for like blood tests. I try not to look.
Billy, just be right here.
You gotta take the peek. You gotta take the peek.
No, I'm gonna.
I know it's gonna be terrible. You're gonna hate it, but you gotta take a peek.
The one thing you cannot do is also be hospitalized on that day. Like, don't be the guy who faints or throws up everywhere.
But that's the place to do it, though.
But it's not the day to do it.
That is true. The place to do it.
You will be a villain for the rest of your life in your household.
Why?
If you do that. Because it's not your day, bro.
No, it means he was so emotional and so overtaken by the moment that he passed out.
Like, do you know anyone that's happened to?
My dad once passed out in the hospital when I had got stitches.
Why?
Not for anything with birth.
Because it was his fault?
He saw me getting like, you know, like the they were like sewing my eyebrow and like my dad just like got queasy and had to.
And that's exactly my point, because who else would make it about themselves more than Greg Cody, right?
Right.
That's my point.
I mean,
that's why you don't want to do it.
That's a guy who I'm sure have seen many a boxing match and many have cut on said boxer. And he's over here fainting because you're getting stitches.
It's different when it's your son, though. Like, I think that there is an emotion to that. Like, holy crap, my son is on a table right now getting sewn up, or whatever the hell.
So basically, you did your dad a favor by not becoming a great pro athlete who would then one day have to get stitches.
Right.
Looking out for your pops.
That injury happened playing flag football, doing an end-around reverse, and me and the other receiver just not knowing who was going on the inside and who was going on the outside.
Please tell me. Right. Ran into each other.
Oh, just straight. And I ended up in a hospital getting stitches.
Wow.
And my parents were out to dinner that night, so they weren't there watching my practice. My Uncle Dick was like watching me that night. So my Uncle Dick had to like call my dad and be like, hey, I'm bringing Christopher to the emergency room because his eye's bleeding.
He said it exactly like that.
How'd he call him?
It was honestly so long ago. He might have called him on a landline. I don't remember how he actually.
Yeah, I'm about to say he had to get to a payphone and then call the restaurant.
You called me out on that. I don't remember exactly like how the
Uncle Dick did no such thing.
I'm just saying, they found out eventually. He brought me.
Your parents came home and said,
huh. Left a message on the answering machine.
I thought they'd be back by now. So Billy, I have to ask you this question. First of all, is everything ready? The crib?
Oh, yeah.
The hospital bag? Okay, I'm glad your answer is no, because I bought the crib for my first child, but didn't put it together for the longest time. And until it was about 2 weeks from the due date, I said, you know what? I can't keep messing around with this. So I put it together. I'm not handy. It took me hours and hours. I got done in the middle of the night, went to bed, and then like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, the water broke. The baby's on the way.
Oh, man, that's perfect timing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So they tell you have to pack a overnight bag or whatever when you're ready to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I hadn't packed anything. So I wake up. I'm panicking. I'm just throwing socks and underwear into this bag. No shirts, no jeans. And then we get in the car and then get to the stop sign at the end of the street. And, you know, it's like the middle of the night. So I just kind of like, okay, nothing. Go out. Got pulled over.
Oh, man. No.
That's oh my God. I mean, this is the one time you can just drop him with, I'm having a baby. Like, I got to go.
That's what I said. And you know what he did? He shined the flashlight on the belly.
Oh, no.
And then asked. Start asking questions like how far along, and I'm like, mother happening right now.
Oh my
God. We don't have time.
Jeez.
Yeah, he let us off with a warning, but like it took a sweet time doing it.
If somebody's telling you, hey, I'm having a baby, the next question out of that person's mouth should not be how far along are you.
Well, it is kind of like the dentist excuse for work, right? Like if I have to miss work, I have a dentist appointment. I feel like the number one thing said when you're trying to get out of a ticket, if your wife is in the car, is if she's pregnant. But if she doesn't look pregnant,
I thought the belly and also her breathing very intensely would be the giveaway.
Right. Were you giving Billy advice not to pack a bag? Because it seems like you should have packed a bag.
Yeah, Billy, pack a bag.
Don't run any stop signs either.
Get the crib done sooner rather than later. It takes a lot longer than you think. And then be prepared to do a lot of waiting once you get to the hospital.
Well, what goes into a bag? Like, what do I need to pack? Is it just a change of clothes?
Socks and underwear, Billy. Just socks and underwear as far as I can see.
Okay.
Because you can rock the same basketball shorts, you know, a couple days, but you just need to freshen up that undie situation.
Right, yeah.
Hospitals are very cold, so definitely bring some sort of hoodie action with you.
Yeah.
You're gonna. It's incredibly cold in there.
Well, how long am I there? Isn't it like a day or two?
You never know. You never know.
3 days for us.
I mean, before we get out of here, do you have any updates on your status with our team?
I was hoping you guys would have an update on my status.
I don't even have an update on my status.
I joked before we started recording. I'll let people in on the joke. I joked that it's going to be real funny when Dan and Stu said, guys, we got good news, we got bad news. The good news is we just struck a new deal with whatever company, all these millions of dollars, and everyone's going to cheer and kind of high five. And yeah, we did it. Finally, it's here. It's like, all right, what's the bad news? You guys aren't coming along.
Yeah. Well, since you don't have an update, how about a reminder about your Count the Things podcast?
Yes. If you enjoy Dad Pod on a more regular basis basis.
Hey.
Count the Things. Follow Count the Things. Subscribe, like, etc. Also, while you're there, why don't you give a subscribe, like, rate, review for Cinephobe. That's the movie. That's the podcast, excuse me, where Zach Harper and I review movies poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they're accurately rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. This week, we reviewed the 1997 action movie Eraser, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Vanessa Williams. And our podcast guest is none other than the one and only Juju Gotti.
So check out all that crap that Amin just pitched.
Oh,
and also check out rate, review, rate, review, subscribe to this thing, Mystery Crate, and tell a friend. Let's do this thing. You right now, you subscribe, rate, and review to Mystery Crate, and then go tell a friend to do it. Let's get this going, huh? Let's get these numbers pumped.
I don't feel like I learned anything. I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't feel any more or less prepared than I was before this in terms of, like, fatherhood.
Glad we can help.
I feel like the best advice Amin gave was from Amin. Don't overthink it. What Amin's dad said is right.
Yeah,
you're not like just support her neck, feed her. That's it. You're good.
Don't listen to Lorenzo.
Yeah,
that's another piece of advice.
Right.
Unfortunately, I seem to have found myself in a situation where I didn't lose Lorenzo in the divorce with our previous employer. It seems like I got him.
I tried. He must be in some meeting with ESPN because I tried to bring him in here. So
did you?
He must be busy.
Did you really?
Anyway. See you later, everybody.
Goodbye.